Blog Talk Radio.
We are poor little lambs who have lost our way. Ba, ba, ba.
This is TwoBlackSheepRadio.com with Bob Granger and Dave Wilkerson.
We're being a black sheep. It's a good thing.
You never know what they're going to say.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Dave Wilkerson, and yes, I am live, but only for part of this, for sure. Just want to be able to tell everybody to have a great and a very safe New Year's Eve. We sure do look forward to spending more time with you this year. Here at Two Black Sheep Radio with all our great friends, our co-host, Mr. Bob Granger, and of course all our morning shows. It's going to be a fun show tonight because what we're doing is we're taking the top seven. No, I couldn't get the top ten. Didn't have enough time to do that, but we have the top seven from the archives that have been played back over the last year. I know you're going to enjoy them. We're going to start off with number seven, and then we're going to work our way down naturally to number one. We'll see you all at the end.
Number seven.
Morning, everybody. Surprise, it's not Tom and Annie, but they were kind enough to take off this week. They'll be back again next Friday, but so my buddy Tim Boland and I could share with everybody a little bit about our years of friendship. We're going to make the morning blend be about friendship. It's going to be a whole lot of fun, so sit down. If you have a cup of coffee, great. I know it's a little early in the morning, but you know, if you have a mimosa or a little Bloody Mary, it might really fit. Because Tim and I are right now, we're down in New Orleans as sort of a surprise gift he gave me to take me on a trip. Because years ago he said, hey, Dave, I'm going to take you on a trip with umbrellas and stuff like that. I was scared. I didn't know what he meant by that. But I know it's a good thing. So let me go ahead and bring my good friend Tim along. We're going to share with you a little bit, probably more than you want to hear this morning. But hey, Timmy, how you doing this morning?
Dave, I'm doing great. My buddy's sitting right next to me.
What exactly does that mean? Again, well, I'm scared.
I've known you for over 20 years, and we get along real well. I enjoy your company, and it's great being down here in New Orleans with you.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about that. It's been 20-plus years, and I know a lot of people know our story, but, you know, it's always fun to refresh it up a little bit because then I remember things that I thought I forgot. But we met from when we were back in Excel Telecommunication. And so that was had to be in 95?
Yeah, it was the mid-90s. And, you know, I'm going to jump in, Dave.
Oh, of course you are.
I got to tell you, you know, the people would go, Wilkerson's going to be there.
Dave Wilkerson's going to be there
because he was big back in the mid-90s.
You know, it's funny. I talked about this on our radio show, the Two Black Sheep radio show last night, where we were talking about I didn't really know how many people that I had in my Excel business. What I did know, though, is there was this crazy person up in Lake George. Actually, it was Pilot Knob, and I'm thinking to myself, Pilot Knob? I mean, I won't tell you actually what I was thinking, but
I didn't name it.
Yeah, I'm sure you didn't.
No.
But I heard you were the fire chief, the policeman, everything. You're all the mayor.
Yeah.
You got all that fun
Unofficial
stuff.
Unofficial mayor.
Unofficial. But, you know, we talk about, you know, how you get to meet people. And one thing about network marketing is that the people you meet, some are strange, some are lifelong friends, and Tim is a lifelong friend. Mm-hmm. But we talk about, what was her first name? It was Muha.
Nina Muha.
Nina.
In-house. She stood in the living room.
That's right. I remember Nina Muha. Okay, she called me up one day, and she goes, I've got to introduce you to this guy. You'd love him, and he's just like you. You'll get along really well.
Better looking.
No, she didn't say that. But she did say you'll really enjoy him. I said, well, great. I'll come into town, and you know, we'll have him come over, and I'll share with him the Excel business. And what they talk about is the rest is history. That's exactly what happened because Nina was right. We enjoyed our company. We had a lot of fun together, and I knew back then, well, I didn't know back then what would happen, but you know, we had a great time with Excel, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was big, yeah. And we had a friendship going. It was good, you know.
Probably at that point in time, it was, you know, I saw Excel on a little bit of the tail end of things. But on the upside was, again, I developed a good friendship. And that's why I always tell everybody, I said, you know, when you find true friends, they're true friends. It can't always be based on the amount of business that they may bring you or don't bring you. Because, you know, after Excel, you know, Tim and I kept in touch with each other, but we didn't see each other much, right?
No, we didn't. But there was timing was right. You remember the time we had the kids together for Christmas?
That's right.
When they were young, right? I mean, he had two young daughters, and I had young daughters, and we invited them over for Christmas, and you know, it was close enough that we wanted to have them there, and it just grew from there.
And boy, did Tim and I have a great time in New Orleans! But hang on next for the next one because it's another good one.
Number 6.
So, hey, great morning, everyone. This is Tom and Annie Diadone. We want to welcome you to our first Friday morning, The Blend.
Yes, good morning, everyone. What an honor it is to be here with you this bright and early a.m., bright and early for us, that is, because we sort of dance to our own time schedule, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Now, I think we should change good morning to great morning.
Yeah, well, why not? We say that to each other every day, so why do it any differently for everybody else?
Anybody else can have a good morning, but we try to have a great morning, don't we?
We always have a great morning, Tom.
And a great day. Great. Wonderful.
And a great life.
Absolutely. So, okay, today's conversation is going to be
about the word commitment. That's a big word in many different ways. It's a long word. It's a lot of letters. It's a tough one to spell, actually, to be honest with you.
I can't spell, so don't ask me to spell. I hate spelling.
And I grew up with spell check, so difficult. But nonetheless, it's a really important word. So great word in many facets. And we really want to talk about it. We want to dissect it. We want to understand what it means for us in our everyday lives between profession, between personal, and what does it mean for you? What does the word commitment mean for you on a day-to-day basis or on a long-term basis?
Well, you know, that's an interesting word, and this is totally your topic because you came up with this. And, you know, when you told me about it, I said, oh, I should probably prepare for this. And then I said, this is pretty simple. The word commitment to me has just changed through the years. Starting in business at a very young age, at 18 years old, the word commitment meant to me that it was 7 days a week, 18 hours a day, no fun. All it was about work. Being successful, make as much money as I could possibly make, you know, take care of my family, my kids, and all that great stuff. And as you start to learn in life that there needs to be a balance. There absolutely needs to be a balance. So I'm thinking today's word is commitment and balance.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you say balance, just enlighten me. Balance in what realm? Because I think you are committed to yourself professionally, to your family, not you specifically, all of us in general, but... But the balance should be a commitment to yourself to grow as an individual.
Right.
Is that what you mean? That you have a commitment
to yourself? Well, again, everyone has different opinions and ideas of what commitment means. To me, when I started in business, my goal was to make a lot of money. And the word commitment was that I had to commit and put myself all in, you know, and a lot of times you hear in network marketing, and not just network marketing in general, people say, I'm all in. And I was all in from the age of 18 years old all the way up to probably 40 years old.
Well,
it was day and night, 7 days a week, 18 hours a day, whatever it took, you know, missing my kids' sports events and ballet and all those things. And you start to realize that as time goes by, what's really important, you know?
Well, let me ask you a question. I mean, you had a reason for that commitment, and that we call that a why. You had a why. You had to be committed to your success because you had everything riding on it. And I think quite often today, for many people in business across the board, whether it's a traditional business or network marketing, if they don't have that burning desire or that burning why or that burning need, it's very difficult to find success. So I think commitment has to lie on that why, on that desire. Because, in other words, if it doesn't, you sort of almost set yourself up for failure, don't you? I mean, we were looking at some quotes on the internet together, and I love this one. Intent reveals desire, but action reveals commitment. You know, it's so easy to wake up and say, I'm going to do this. But unless you do it, you're really not committed. And so to go back to your life 27, 28, 30 years ago, you took action and you made it happen. And that's really the underlying, you know, factor to your success. So, yes, you definitely need the balance, because otherwise you run the chance of just burning yourself out. But I think that quite often in the beginning stages, that commitment is really, really strong and intense, and you may lack that balance, but hopefully you level off.
I honestly do not see any other way than to be all in when you start something. You know, it happens in relationships, it happens with business, right?
I do sure love listening to my buddies Tom and Annie Diadone on the Morning Blend. Boy, they sure came out with a bullet on that one, because needless to say, it jumped right up into the archives very quickly, with close to 1,000 replays in the first 2 weeks. Here's the next one from my co-host, Mr. Bob Granger.
Number 5.
You know, I'm not that technologically astute. We all know that. So I'm not even sure if you're going to get this. But, you know, we're talking about our morning shows. And I just thought that an appropriate name for my show. In fact, I'd like to do the show if it would work for everyone. You know, I'm thinking 7 or 8 a.m. on a Monday morning. What a way to start the week with Rock and Roll with Grange. You know, kind of like your weekly wake-up call. Nice way to start the week. Positive. All that good stuff, you know what I mean? I mean, if you think about, Dave, you know, the last year, and when I can still remember sitting out on the deck at your lake house, White Lake, beautiful up there, and we're chatting and have a good time, having a beverage, smoking cigars, and saying, wouldn't it be cool if people could just listen to some of these conversations, because we're all over the board, we talk about every kind of subject, and then lo and behold, the next week you say, I have it. You know, radio talk show, you know, web-based, Two Black Sheep Radio, you know, and we just, we've had a lot of fun with it, and I think it's been, you know, quite successful. We've always had a goal in mind, and that's to help people, you know, and just help a few people, or one person, or scores, you know, just to say something that's going to make a difference, you know. And one of the things that we talked about, you and myself and Charlie and Tom and Annie, about doing our morning show is the fact that, you know, it's to try to help. You know, and I think just as much, I know for me, it's going to help make me better, you know, which is such an important component of this. I have to be better in order to be able to help someone else, you know, decide that they'd like to be better as well. You know, so I'm going to wind up opening up my show, you know, to many people. And my discussions and topics are going to vary. You know, that's that old thing about, you know, being happy and excited about life. And I am. I'm a patriot. I think, and more and more and more that I'm around people and this wonderful country, the opportunities we've been given in our life, whether it be traditional business, and then to be able to supplement that with a network-based business and have them work together in conjunction. My gosh, what an opportunity that is. You know, and we do have great, great, great opportunity. You know, so I'm not sure, you know, when I get into this, if it's going to be more about maybe grabbing a chapter out of a book I might be reading. I had a friend, a very dear friend of mine the other day, give me a book that I haven't read in years. And it was one of the first books I ever read. And, it helped me on that way to that positive mental attitude. And it was How to Win Friends and Influence People. You know, so I'm in the process of reading that book again. You know, and so I might be taking certain chapters out of books, you know, and just discussing that chapter. You know, during the week, I might be talking to a multitude of people and get their opinions on different things, you know, life experiences, you know, all of that. It's so important, life experiences. I mean, experiences get you where you are, and it's best to be able to use somebody else's experiences, if you can, to make you a better person.
Now, Bob, didn't you love the way I put that classical piano music in the background?
That was pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, you sort of put me in that mood, and I'm going, here he is. It's like Bob in the morning, you know, and he's going to share and motivate and excite it. So when you talk about rock and roll, you don't necessarily mean rock and roll. You mean like, you know, get up and go, like get up and move and that type of stuff, right?
Yeah, well, think about it, Dave. Rock and roll, I mean, I guess you'd have to be back in those 70s, 60s and 70s time, but that rock and roll era, that all it did was make you smile.
And we've kept smiling over the last year. You know, Happy New Year there, Mr. Bob. I'm sure you're having a great time tonight. I miss having you on the radio last week and this week, but we're going to make up for that in the new year for sure. So hang on, because you're going to really enjoy this next one. This is my own. I had a great time with it.
Number four.
Well, good morning, everybody. Here it is, another Wednesday. And for those of you who are tracking where I am, it's going to be interesting, by the way. The next few months, I'm going to be traveling a lot. But I am still down in Charlotte with my daughters and grandkids, having a blast, you know, enjoying myself, of course. Just got back from walking both Ty and me up to school. I also get to have and start a little bit of a tradition. That's what I'm going to sort of talk about a little bit this morning. But the tradition is, I sort of plant a seed in my little granddaughter's head, because I've been singing to her in the morning as we walk and driving her crazy by saying things like, good morning there, Miss Mia Ray. We're off to school. We go today. Sound off. And she looks up at me and she goes, granted, you're not, okay, fine. I'll say 1, 2, 3, 4, then what? And she rolls her eyes. It's hilarious, okay? But I tried one day not saying that, and she said, well, are we going to do our tradition, Granddad? Are we going to say that? And now, where I'm planting the seed is, when I'm gone, I'm going to be able to drive my daughter crazy, I'm sure, because Mia's going to ask, how, well, come on, we got to do the tradition. We got to do the march. We got to do the cadence. We've got to do it like Granddad did. You know what that is, right, Mom? Come on. And I know I'll get a call later on saying, and you know, again, it'll be fun. My daughter's going to be saying, Mia said she not only misses you, but she loves what you started. And the proof of that is, you know, sometimes when you start a tradition, it's not for good reasons, and I'm going to share a couple stories with you this morning. I know that that's a lot of what we've been doing on Two Black Sheep Radio, and then we've expanded into it with all the morning shows. But as many of you know, I'm a big fan of setting daily goals, but I'm also probably even a bigger fan of setting traditions. And it really sort of started back when I was younger. I remember, you know, New Year's Eve was always that time I was going to conquer the world. This is at an early age. I remember, I think I was like 10 years old, and I took off at like 11:58 and grabbed my bicycle. It was snowing outside, and I'm riding my bicycle around the circle, around the block, which was about half mile, a mile. Can you imagine your parents today, if you're our parent, think about that, if you have a 10-year-old and suddenly disappears at midnight, New Year's Eve, on his bicycle and snowing outside? You know, back then it was like, okay, he'll be back. You know, big difference in the world. But as I did that, I was doing that because I wanted to start the new year in a new way. I wanted it to be different. And I found that ever since I started that, every new year I try to have it be a little bit different. And it appears this New Year's is even more different, because here I am on the radio show, but I am going to get ready to run out and meet up with some friends. But here's one of my great friends, Charlie Melston. What a great show this was.
Number three.
Good morning, everybody. I'm excited to be here, and thanks for tuning in and listening.
to the first morning show I'm having to be able to talk a little bit about life, business, some network marketing, a few stories and some good times about what's happening. But mostly I just want to have a good time and think if I can get a few good points across to people about what I've experienced in a few years in network marketing, how I've had some success, and some of the great stories and people that I have met along the way. You know, it's funny, being part of this Black Sheep Radio Network has been very, very exciting to me. I was truly honored and feel blessed when Dave Wilkerson gave me a call and asked me, he said that him and Bob Granger had been talking about having me on as a co-host. And, you know, I couldn't be more thrilled because they're two of the guys that I just have the utmost respect for. Really, really smart businessmen, tremendous leaders in network marketing. And, you know, the history shows it with them. They are the kinds of guys that have just went out and got it done in regular business and in network marketing, built huge teams in all different types of industries, and really shown people that with the right work ethic and the right concentration and some of the incredible systems that are in place, you can go out and really get anything done and accomplish incredible stuff. Host my own show, I thought about what could I give back and what could I talk to people about. And I said, I thought if I would just talk about what I see in network marketing and in business and in life, if I just talked about it in general and shed some light on it, kind of what Bob and Dave were doing, but stayed on a nice, happy, upright thing. You know, the way you start your day every day, it should be that way. It should be a positive day. And I thought if I could just bring a little bit of that once a week to a few people, I thought it would be worthwhile and I'd be able to share my experiences and hopefully some people would get something from it. They would take something away that would help them in maybe not business, but in life, maybe with their family, maybe with something that's going on. And I always say that I'm blessed and lucky enough that I've had some great experiences in life and I've done some incredible things and I've met some incredible people that have helped me do all those things. So putting us now, here we are today, this morning, listening to what's going on and me thinking about my first show, I was really excited to talk about really life, talk about the excitement of being in business as a regular business owner and then how a network marketing business can rejuvenate you. It can give you a new exciting thing to go after, how it can change your life by learning to read and look at information in a different manner the way you never have. And if you're not a business person and you're starting out in network marketing, you know, it's a great way to have a positive outlook. And I always say to people, I can't believe that before network marketing, I never read a book that was to help me with business or on life or about my personal outlook or my goals. And now I love reading and looking at that stuff because it really, really, you know, it changes your mentality. It grows on you. It becomes a habit that you're going to do stuff. Speaking of that, let me talk real quick about something that I consider life-changing that I want anybody that's listening to hear this. You know, a few years back, I was at a major event that we were having for our company, and when I was at the event, they had a speaker on stage. Now, there must have been 10,000 people at this event. It was massive, and I was so happy to be down on the floor listening, and the fellow that was speaking told a story about how he started to tell his children every day before they left the house to go to school, he would ask them what kind of a day they're going to have. And what he did was he started to train them in the idea that they decided what kind of a day they had. They would decide if it would be a good day or a bad day. They determined that, and they could help others have a better day. Well, you know, I took away from that such a positive and such a strong vibe about how we could help, especially the children in our lives and even other people that we're influencing, we may not know we're influencing, but we're talking to them. And I decided that when I got home from that event, based out of Dallas, I came home and I started right away doing that. And, you know, the first couple of times it was a little bit of goofy and laughiness, and my kids thought it was silly, but they got the idea and they got talking about it and they started to realize. And as I sit here today, this morning, I remember dinner last night, I was talking with my son who was having a rough day. Something didn't go his way at the end of the day. He didn't like dinner and he was kind of grouchy. And we talked about the morning before he got on the bus about how he was going to have a great day, he told me. And we realized that the day wasn't over. There was still plenty of time left in the day, and that he was ultimately going to make that decision on whether or not he had a great day still. And, you know, to think about that network marketing brought me to a convention that I sat down and was able to get information like that, and to change my life was one thing. But to go ahead and to change my family's life and my children's life and give that input was just staggering to me. And, you know, all the money in the world is great to have tons and tons of money. But without being able to affect and help and do things for other people, it just isn't anything worth, it's not worth anything at all. You really, this whole world we're in right now is about people, helping people and doing the best you can. And
Charlie sure has done the best he can each and every week. So make sure you join him. The next one, boy, what a great story this is. And that's why we played it a little bit longer. The last two are pretty long. But you're going to listen to Damien as he talks about his relationship, not only with his team, but also with his dad. It's just incredible, very heartfelt, and that's why it came in the way it did at number two.
Beginning today, treat everyone you meet as if they were going to be dead by midnight. Extend to them all the care, kindness, and understanding you can muster, and do it with no thought of any reward. Your life will never be the same again. Og Mandino. What an awesome quote. I need to implement that immediately.
It's a distinct pleasure for me tonight to be able to introduce my great friend Damien Pukacik. You know, I'm probably going to leave a few things out, but I'm going to go through just a few things to give you an idea, all you listeners, of what's going on with Damien. You know, he has several business interests with his brother and with, obviously, his business partner, Sean. You know, wait a minute. He only has 7 children. I think other than toddler, he's got everything covered. He's got a newborn, you know, like he has them in grade school, middle school, high school, college. If you think about it, here's another thing. He's a top 15 income earner in one of the fastest growing network marketing businesses in the world. Think about it. He's a God-fearing man who is extremely active in his church. Here's a few other things. He's a world and nationally recognized champion in scores of tournaments, arm wrestling. A little side note, which we probably won't get into tonight, that paid for his college, and his finesse and grace on a pool table also help finance his college education. Here's another thing. He was 3rd place in a Mr. Universe contest, and he's currently in training for another. In fact, maybe tonight we can touch on how to maximize your life. I can go on and on about my good friend Damien, and he was our first guest host. But, Damien, I want to welcome to you to our birthday and the 50th show. And I'd like you to just say hello to our listeners, and then I have just a couple of questions for you.
Oh, thanks, Bob. I'm so excited to be here. What an honor. I can't believe you guys invited me back, but I'm so thankful and grateful for it. I know I'm probably going to get beat up, but I'm excited. Congratulations to you guys. 50th show, I mean, what you guys are doing for the industry is incredible. I just love the energy and everything you've done on the shows, and I think it's just awesome and a testament to y'all's leadership. It's fantastic to go from startup to over 5,000 listeners on a weekly basis is incredible. So hats off to you guys, and congratulations. I'm looking forward to the next year. It's going to be spectacular.
And many times it starts at a young age. And I'm also to understand that your father was very instrumental in your life. And I'd love to, and I know our listeners would love to know a little bit about, you know, that background and that foundation that was formulated, you know, for you by your parents. Could you tell us about
sure.
that? Take your time.
Yeah, I'd love to. A pretty emotional topic for me, but I'll definitely fill you in on some of that. I've had a lot of mentors as well. In fact, I think having mentors is very important for people and their success. And I was very blessed, as you were, to have a father and parents in general. But my dad really was quite an inspiration to me. Little backstory on Dad. Dad grew up in Bernie, where we live now, and he went to Texas A&M, and he lettered in 5 sports while he was there, which is pretty good at a D1 college. He was a 5-sport letterman, and then he when he got out of college, he wanted to go into the Navy, but while he was at A&M, he was in the Corps of Cadets, and he ended up deciding instead of getting a commission, he wanted to do sports. So he ended up moving to the athletic dorm and actually did 5 different sports, which is pretty crazy. But when he got out, he then had a little turn in his life, and he went to the seminary for 2 years and just explored that area of his life to just see if maybe that was a path he wanted to take and become a priest. And that didn't work out. He decided not to go down that, and he ended up getting into the military, and he became a Navy SEAL. And for, you know, a lot of you on the call probably understand what it takes to become a SEAL. It's pretty crazy. He was in SEAL Team 1 back in the 60s, early on in the SEALs, and went over to Vietnam. And he was a lieutenant in the Navy, and he actually became, Bob, one of the first critically wounded SEALs in U.S. history. In fact, I think he was the first. They came around a bend in the river, I think it was the Saigon River, or the Mekong, I can't remember, but came around the bend, they came into an ambush, and he gets on a 50 caliber machine gun, and a mortar hit it, and it blew up in his face, and fortunately his teammates were able to get out of the ambush, and they came over to Dad and saw he was laying on the deck. His skull was literally missing. His brains were laying out on the deck. He wasn't breathing. They rolled him over and actually saw that his other lung was moving. So, you know, and he ended up being alive, and they got him out. I mean, I can't imagine being in the jungle, right? Back in the 60s, your brain, they put his brain back into his head, and they got him out of that area and kept him alive somehow. He slipped into a coma. He got him back to San Diego, Coronado. He was in a coma for 90 days. They actually pronounced him dead 5 different times. 5 different times they said he was dead, called Grandma to tell her, and 5 different times he ended up living and coming out of whatever they thought he was dead, which is a miracle all in itself. They told him he'd never have children, which obviously ended up not being the case. So, you know, Dad was just, he was just a miracle. He ended up being half of his skull was fiberglass, the technology they had back then. They kind of put that back together. He set off every radar detector in every airport he ever went into with all the shrapnel in his body. He was in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. And he ended up meeting my mom, and they got married and had 3 boys. And so, you know, we grew up getting to hear stories about Dad and about Hell Week and the SEALs and all that good stuff, and just his attitude and his never quit attitude and do whatever it takes attitude and, you know, working hard and those types of things, but also his strong dedication to his faith and his commitment to family. And it was just very, very, very incredible. You know, he wasn't real hard on us unless it came to things like saying we can't or those types of things. He didn't like that. There's just no such thing as you can't. That was the worst 4-letter word in our house growing up, for sure. I'll never forget, Bob, going to the pool. He was on the diving, the sports where he was on the diving team, the gymnastics team, the cross country team, the swim team, and the water polo team. Those were the things that he did at A&M. Traveling teams for all of them. And so he used to teach us how to dive by sitting on the side of the pool in his wheelchair. And we'd get up on, me and my little brothers, you know, I'd get up there and do a dive, and I'll never forget, you know, I hit my foot on the board one time, and I busted when I hit the water, and I was crying, and I didn't want to get back in the pool, and he told me to get back on the board, and I was crying and didn't want to, and he raised it. I mean, he put his hands on his wheelchair, and he raised his whole body out of the wheelchair and said, you get back on the board. And so I did. I got back on the board, and sure enough, the next dive was fantastic, you know. So, I mean, he was just it was just a very interesting way he had about him when it came to those types of things. He was obviously very competitive, so I think, you know, my brothers and I, we got our competitive nature from him. But I'll tell you what, Bob, when he, you know, he shared so many wonderful things with me through the years and how to be a man and how to be, you know, how to really care for people and treat people and those types of things. It just had a big impact on me. But I'll never forget whenever he ended up dying, actually, a while back, which I never thought would happen, but he did. And I apologize for getting a little emotional on that. It was just it was a weird time in my life. You know, my mom and dad ended up getting divorced, and they had both got remarried. And dad moved to Florida, and I'll never forget, I got a call from my stepmom saying that dad didn't wake up, and so they took him in a helicopter to the hospital, and he had had his carotid artery was severed from back in Vietnam, and it had formed a bubble, and it finally busted, and it went up into his brain. I guess he had an aneurysm kind of deal and bleeding on the brain, and he slipped into a coma and stroke and everything, he was in the intensive care for about 37 days, and he was on life support, and it came time to, the doctor said, we need to pull the plug because he's brain dead and, you know, that kind of deal. So she fortunately called us, and so me and my brothers went to Florida to be with him to help her decide on all that stuff. And so anyway, we walked in and seeing, you know, this hero of a man just in that shape, it just hurt me. I mean, we're talking about somebody that won the wheelchair Olympics bench pressing 485 pounds without being able to use his legs. I mean, just an actual, just Herculean guy to being all withered up in this bed and being in a coma. And you know what? His heart rate went up a few ticks whenever he heard my little brother's voice. And I just looked at that doctor and said, have you read his file? I go, you guys have already tried to put him in the ground 5 times. I think he's earned this bed, because they wanted the bed. I think he's earned the bed, and I think you ought to let him fight, because he's obviously done it so many times before. And I don't think he's dead. I don't think he's brain dead. I think you just need to deal with it. Let him be here. And so sure enough, they did. They weren't happy. I kind of had some words with the doctor, and about 60 days later, Bob, he came out of the coma. He ended up getting off life support, learning how to talk again, got full function of his body, and went home. So just the will, just the sheer will, the faith, the fight in that man. I mean, if I learned anything, it's just never given up. Never given up on your dream. Never given up on whatever it is you set your mind to do, and just give it all you got. So I remember I ran my first marathon a few years back, and I got to about mile 16, and I was dying, and all I could think about was dad. And all I could think about was, what would he do?
So if that doesn't start to make you understand what makes Damian Pekacek, I said it right, I think. It's really great. But it makes him tick. You know, that has a lot to do with the heritage, the legacy he has to live with, and his love of people. So, boy, what a great one. And here is our number one coming in for tonight, my great friend Jordan Nadler, author of Beach Money. What an inspiring show this was, and it sure tugged the hearts of every single listener. It just blew away the competition. It was our best show of 2015, and I couldn't be prouder to call this man a close friend of not only myself, but of all of our listeners on Two Black Sheep Radio. So listen to his story. Here it is, coming in at number one.
Number one.
You know, when we started Two Black Sheep Radio, we did it with a very simple goal in mind, and that was so that Bob and I could just have fun, and we weren't going to script things. Well, today I worked on scripts and all sorts of stuff, so that's how it works. But we also know that if you pick up one or two good things out of our show each and every week, then if we have a potential to help you, we're excited about that. But let me go ahead, because I'm really excited tonight to be able to share with everyone our very special guest, Jordan Adler, author of Beach Money. Again, if you haven't read it, shame on you. You will after this episode. Being an author by itself would have made for a really fun show tonight, but how about the fact, and you'll love this, how about the fact it took him 10 years in network marketing to sign up his very first distributor? Would you have quit? Would you have been excited by that, this profession? Well, despite that slow start, that he has since gone on to earn over $20 million. Most people would be content with that, right? I know, Bob, you would be content with $20 million in your bank account, wouldn't you, from your efforts in this business? But
yes, I would.
Jordan, of course, he set another major goal for himself. He wanted to learn how to fly a helicopter, and I was going to play Airwolf music and, you know, do that whole thing. But let me just go right straight in. Let's welcome my great friend, author, professional speaker, and now my favorite accolade of all, helicopter pilot Jordan Adler. Jordan, have we got you on okay?
You do, Dave. Can you hear me?
Thank goodness. Oh, we always so worried.
Yeah.
Yep, we're all set.
But don't get too good. I'm actually, this is for real. I'm laying in the hammock looking out into the forest, and if all of a sudden I disappear, it means I fell asleep. Hopefully I won't. Hopefully what I share with you will be exciting enough that I won't fall asleep.
Well, I hope so, cuz if not, your next door neighbor has a great to throw stuff on you from a distance. So, you know,
right.
The choice is up to you. But, you know, Jordan, why don't you share with everybody a little of the background in your own words, and then we'll go into some questions, and we're going to have a fun night tonight.
Sounds good. Well, I grew up in the south suburbs of Chicago in a lower middle income neighborhood. I did get a degree in landscape architecture from the University of Illinois. My father required all three of us. I have two sisters. And he required all three of us to get college degrees, and he saved his whole life for us to go for 1 year, and then we had to figure out ways to pay for our additional 3 years to get our college degree. And right out of school, I took a guitar, a suitcase, and $250 that I got for my birthday from relatives, and I moved from Chicago to the western United States. I moved to Arizona because there was a lot of building going on back in the early 80s, and so I moved out there and, you know, worked a whole bunch of different jobs, and I had an entrepreneurial streak, and I don't even know where it came from because it wasn't from my family so much. My dad worked a job all of his life, and my mom stayed home and took care of the family, and I started answering classified ads for different business opportunities, and I probably, over the course of 10 years, I probably answered a whole bunch of ads, but I got involved in 11 different network marketing companies, including in the travel business and the long-distance business and 3D cameras, and I was in Amway twice, and I did all these different businesses, and then, but every one of them, I lost money. Back in the 80s, you know, if you paid your credit card bill on time, even if it was $200 or $300, they kept sending you applications, and I got I got 22 credit cards, and I racked up $36,000 in debt on those credit cards. I was driving a beat-up old Jeep. I was 34 years old. My rent was $200 a month. And the airline that I was working for at the time filed bankruptcy and cut my pay in half. And so at the age of 34, I was making $14,000 a year, $36,000 in credit card debt, living in an enclosed garage with a broken-down Jeep in the street that had been broken down for 2 years, and I was taking the bus to work. And I joined my 12th network marketing company in 1992, and I finally figured out, it wasn't rocket science by any means, but I finally figured out how to sponsor a distributor, how to give a simple presentation, how to sponsor a distributor, how to invite somebody to take a look. And on my lunches over a period of about 3 years, I developed a five-figure monthly residual income and built a multi-million-dollar business at a little cafe right down downstairs from America West Airlines, and left my job, of course, and I haven't had a job now in, gosh, it's probably been 17, 18 years since I've had a job. And so I'm a network marketing professional. You said I'm a professional speaker. I'm really not a I don't really see myself as a professional speaker. I don't get paid to speak. I do speak at network marketing events for fun and to build my team and that kind of thing. But I'm not really a professional speaker or a professional author. I wrote a book for fun. So.
Okay. Well, great. Are you through telling everybody you're not what I said you were just for? This is great.
Yeah.
This is good. I like it. Well, you know, Jordan, one of the things that I like so much, though, is I remember hearing you speak at Eric Worre's event, I think it was like 3 years ago, and you said just that. You said that everything you make comes from your network marketing business. It didn't
right.
come from Beach Money because you donate, 100% of the proceeds to a charity, right?
100% of the profits, yeah, go to Kiva, KIVA.org. It's an organization that funds entrepreneurs in developing countries. So, for example, if there's a family down in South America that wants to start a business and they need $100 or $500 to start a business, you can go on the website and you can loan money to that family, and you can see the different little bit business plans. There's thousands of wannabe entrepreneurs all over the world in developing countries that want to start businesses, and they need the capital. And so the money from the profits from Beach Money, I fund loans to entrepreneurs all over the world. And so we've done thousands of loans and helped businesses start all over the place. It's been great.
Well, you're giving back, and that's something we all appreciate. We always talk about the same thing. You know, you should, what you receive in return for what you give out is just dramatic. But what I'm going to do now is, because I know that my co-host is dying to ask you the questions, and again, like I told you earlier, his first question, we never really know if it's going to be a serious one or not so serious, but I know he's in a good frame of mind now, so I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Bob Granger. Bob, be kind. It's your turn.
Oh, I am, Dave. In fact, I thought with Jordan, because he can cover so much ground in a short period of time, I really wanted to get right to business and talk to him about some great questions. We all love network marketing. It's a great industry. I've met so many people, and just today I was talking with the judge, and he said, I'd love to ask this question to Jordan. I says, okay, what is it? Give it to him. And he says, well, you know, like Jordan's been in the business for so long, he loves your book like we all do, you know. And he said, you know, at times, Jordan, you know, you had to, you know, have been flatlined or stalled or, you know, discouraged, you know. And he wanted to know, how do you rise above that and get super excited again? I mean, how do you get excited about almost starting over when you feel that you're not going anyplace? How do you do that?
That's a great question, Bob. That's a legit question. I appreciate that. So I've had people say to me, Jordan, how was it that you didn't quit after being in all those companies for so many years and spending so much money on getting in and out of companies and never making any money? Well, the reality is I quit lots of times. Every time I didn't make money, I quit. And I learned after 10 years that's not a great formula for success. In fact, there's never been a book called How to Quit Your Way to Success. I mean, and that was my MO. That was my pattern of doing business, and it doesn't work. And so the reality is, Bob, all of us every day go through ups and downs. I mean, that's the nature of being human. We're emotional beings, and our emotions go up and our emotions go down. And the people that make it in business, not just in network marketing, but in any business, they have an ability to, and everybody has the ability to do it. It's a conscious decision, but they make their decisions to build the business not based on how they're feeling, but based on their commitment. Just like, you know, those of you that are listening in that have kids, there's probably many, many, many times over the years that you didn't want to be a parent, but you had kids, and so you were already committed, and because of that commitment, you continue to do your job as a parent. If you make your decisions to be a parent based on how you're feeling, you would probably be a terrible parent. So it's no different in your business. You know, people that succeed in network marketing or in any business, they have to decide that they're going to make their decisions to build it based on what they're committed to, not based on how they're feeling. So to answer your question, I have ups and downs. Sometimes I have ups and downs every week, sometimes every month, and sometimes depending on what's going on in my life. I mean, I lost my parents over the past 3 years, and some of the most difficult times in my life, and there were many, many times that I did not feel like building the business. But I also have a commitment to the members of my team, the people that have joined the team, and also to achieving certain goals that I've laid out for myself. So I just – sometimes you just go through the motions. Sometimes it's leaning on your you know, just putting yourself on automatic pilot. The other thing you need to do, it's very, very important to get yourself around people that are doing it that inspire you. So when you align yourself with other people that have a higher level of commitment than you or that have bigger dreams than you, stretch your vision, that's inspiring. And so you want to stay, you know, stay close to the fire. Those are the people that can really help to instill belief in you that it's possible for you. None of us can do it on our own. We got to have a good team of people. And if you don't have a team of people, it's your responsibility as an entrepreneur to find that team. So it may be your upline, it may be your downline, or it may be crossline, or it might be people outside your company that just can provide you with some inspiration. I mean, I've got people that inspire me that I ask myself, you know, what would they do under these circumstances? And the bigger your organization, the more successful you become, the more responsibility there is, the bigger the dream, the bigger the lifestyle, but also there's issues and challenges that come with that. So you just have to be ready to take on those challenges if you want to grow to the next level. And it's exciting challenges, fun challenges, but, you know, the bigger your team, the more you know, we're dealing with people. And whenever you're dealing with people, you've got interesting scenarios that present themselves. So, yeah, there you go. Hope that helps.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, everybody. I hope you really enjoyed spending a little bit of time with me tonight. No, this is not what I'm going to do for my New Year's Eve thing at midnight. And we're going to have some fun tonight for sure. But be sure that you are safe out there. We want to make sure that 2016 is one that you will always remember. So make sure you spend some time with us at Two Black Sheep Radio, because from all of us, Bob Granger, Charlie Melsner, Tominea Diadone, and myself, we sure do look forward to all the things that we've got planned for all of our listeners in 2016. So you want to make sure you go and you join Club Black Sheep and go to twoblacksheepradio.com, and you'll see it. It's right there. You can't miss it. Also, you want to listen to any of the past shows, they'll all be there available as well. So listen, everybody, remember this, especially on this evening as we leave 2015 and we go into 2016, that being a black sheep is not a bad thing. It just makes us all a little bit more unique. We'll see y'all later. Happy New Year.